Hi, welcome to another episode of the Inside Windows Phone Show. I'm Jaime Rodriguez, and today we have a special guest. Luke, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Jaime. My name is Luke Neiswanger, and I am the developer documentation lead for Windows Phone and Windows Phone Engineering.
Yep. So, in other words, he does the docs, which you all should be reading, especially in this release. We're going to talk about the Mango release specifically, and you guys have done a really great job this time with the docs. So I thought it would be great if you just told us, hey, here's what's new, here's some things we want to highlight. Encourage them to go look at the docs because there's some really good stuff this time around.
Yeah, that's a great intro. So we have spent a significant amount of time changing the way that we actually not only ship our documentation, but the types of documentation that we ship. From focusing heavily on developer walkthroughs and scenarios that they've asked for over the past few months, and then investing heavily in code samples. So some of the things that I'm going to be showing you today are not only the walkthroughs, in addition to the changes that we've done on MSDN, but also showing you a few of the code samples that we've done as a team.
Yep. So go ahead. You can run through it if you want.
Okay. So the first thing that I'm going to pull up here, if you look in Visual Studio, is I'm going to go ahead and describe the sockets sample that we just created. And what this one is this is actually a sample that shows a tic-tac-toe game running on the client on the phone and then having a server-based communication protocol talking between the two. So I'll go ahead and kick that off. And you'll notice that the server-based application is spinning up at the same time as my Silverlight-based sockets communication application. So what I'll do here is I'm just going to go ahead and start the game with the server. Notice I clicked X, and the server came back with an O. I'm going to go ahead and walk through this and trick the computer here. There we go. So, you know, we haven't built a lot of the game logic into this. You know, we really want to leave this up to the developers to be very imaginative about how they want to do that. And this sample is stripped down to show the socket-based communication and the power of the Mango platform.
Yep. But this does highlight, you know, in the past, samples or code samples were always this really tiny how-to that was out of context. And, you know, it was just, hey, here's the API. And there was not a lot of, there wasn't a full scenario. There wasn't a lot of context. This sample, to me, it's kind of like, hey, it's great because I see functional code back and forth. Like, you know, it gives me a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. So we've done both in this case. So if you go and you look at the actual sockets class library information, we have code snippets in there that talk about it. But if you want a full-blown application, we're also delivering code samples with that, along with developer walkthroughs.
Yep, perfect.
So the next sample that I want to go ahead and walk through is another great feature in the Mango platform, which is this interoperability between both Silverlight and XNA. So this one, called My Little Teapot, is going to demonstrate an XNA-based application with some Silverlight controls rendered on top of that. So what you'll notice here is I actually have a really rich 3D graphic object running in the background and using the XNA framework. And then layered on top of that, we have Silverlight controls. And you'll notice that as I use the slider here, you know, the color changes. And if I want to demonstrate, you know, just clicking on a button, using the button interface, it'll actually change straight to green. And I can turn that around. And another unique approach that developers can take is expression blend. So we've actually used blend in this example to give it some behavior. And so you'll notice that developers can be very imaginative about the approach that they take when they want to create an interesting effect with controls.
Yep. So that was a storyboard is where you're going.
Yep.
Yep. Nice.
So that last example used the XNA and the Silverlight interop to describe and showcase the features of the platform. The last sample that I'd like to show walks through creating secondary tiles. So you'll notice on the home screen there I only had one tile. As a user, I'm allowed to actually create secondary tiles now in the Mango platform.
Yep.
And a good classic example of this is a weather application. So let's say that main tile on the start screen was actually, you know, the main weather application, but I wanted weather per city. This is a great use of doing that. So one thing that I can do is when I click display secondary tile, you'll notice that it actually created the secondary tile on the home screen there. But I'm also able to set different properties. And in this example, we actually use the local application to do all the property setting, but this could be done on the web service as well. So as an example, I can type channel 9 demo as the title on the actual tile that's sitting out there, the secondary tile. And then maybe on the back of the tile, because this is new in Mango 2, you can actually control the content that goes between the tiles, get more samples. I can set the back content as well. So you'll notice out on the home screen down there, the content for the tile is set to channel line demo. And when this tile actually animates and flips over, you'll see the back of it talk about the get more samples. And there it is.
Yep. So again, that's a really nice, I like that sample. It's a nice end-to-end walkthrough of using, you know, the new local tile APIs, you know, straight up. It's very simple, but it's actually, it shows you all the power of the, you know, the new feature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So what about the website? What's going on over there?
Yeah, so let me go ahead and give you a quick demonstration of what we've actually done on App Hub. So as most people are familiar, we do have educational resources spread across both App Hub and MSDN. What we've done over the past couple months since the release of 7 is to actually do a more tighter integration between App Hub and MSDN. And we're starting to do that on the back end, but we started with the content infrastructure layer. So if you'll look, we not only have the rich integration of the education samples that ship to MSDN right into App Hub, but we've also taken an approach where we've aggregated content across different web properties. So Windows Phone is such a unique approach to the way that applications are built that we use these frameworks all across, you know, Microsoft. Some of that content actually does not live on App Hub, but what we've done is we've culled that content and merchandised it in a way so that developers can find everything they need. So as an example, you know, how to make money on the platform is a big question developers have. So what we've done is we've taken all of the advertising services documentation and aggregated this into one view on App Hub. So it crosses not only the Microsoft content but some community content as well.
Yep.
And this is one big investment that we've made in the App Hub content infrastructure.
And this app, so this kind of aggregation that you have is actually tailored for Windows Phone.
It is tailored for Windows Phone, so it provides developers that Windows Phone filtered view of content.
Yep. So that's great. That's kind of a shortcut to a whole lot of information that we have to crawl through.
It is. So the second thing that I want to show is the actual core platform documentation on MSDN and a few of the things that we've done in the Mango timeframe. So I talked about earlier all the developer scenarios that we have and those mini walkthroughs. We have that listed in our how-to index here.
Yep.
So as developers are looking through and they want to understand, you know, how to actually combine Silverlight and the XNA framework, what we've done is we've created a really rich walkthrough that takes that code sample that I showed you earlier and allows the developer to build it end-to-end so that they not only have that sample that they can just download, click F5, and run, but they can actually take the time and walk through it and build it and learn along the way. So that's one thing that we've done. The other, a couple other key things that I want to highlight here is the user experience design guidelines are now integrated into MSDN. So in the past, over the past few months, we've released updates to the user experience design guide, but it's been in a PDF format. And we've also gotten a lot of feedback from developers that it's hard for them to understand how to actually do the from design to implementation and then publishing out to marketplace. So by integrating this into MSDN, not only do we get that rich interaction between how you actually design something and how a developer goes to implement it, but we've also allowed it a broader approach to how we can actually localize the content to different languages in the future.
Yep. And to be, we have to do a shout here because the new design guidelines are much broader than anything before.
Yes.
I think the document kind of double or triple in size.
It did, yeah. Like if you were to actually print this thing out, it comes out to about 150 pages.
Yep.
And what's interesting about this one is this was an approach taken from the actual UX team here where they went out and they met with a ton of designers along the way over the past 6 to 8 months and gotten a lot of feedback, not only about the actual previous design guidelines, but what they really needed. So this document takes into account all that customer feedback that we've been hearing over the past 8 months.
Yep. So, yeah, this document is great now. I can read through it and get a lot more insight than before.
Yes.
Before, it was kind of a, here's how A works, here's how B, and today I think we've added a little bit of the, hey, these are the reasons why.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little bit more context to it.
We did. And in fact, I'll just demonstrate one real quick. So if you look at the controls section here, and we'll pick one like checkbox control. Not only do we talk about, this is a very basic example, but not only do we talk about the checkbox control, but we do deep linking into the actual class library reference documentation. So developers can get quick access to not only design resources, but the programmatic resources of the content as well.
Cool.
The last thing I want to go over here is another piece of content that was kind of separate outside of the MSDN documentation. that is also now integrated into the actual library. And that's the certification requirements. And we did this for a number of reasons. One is to try and solve some of the testing issues that were popping up for developers along the way and the certification failures that they were having. And we did that by including, we'll pick one here, technical cert requirements, by including test steps. So what we've done now is we've integrated test steps directly into the document. So as the developer's trying to understand, you know, what multiple devices support means and how is Microsoft going to test that on the back end, they actually get those direct steps that we actually use on the back end to test this stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's also the issue of the PDF file that was running around everywhere. So developers like to pass around, you know, hey, here's section 5.1.2 that talks about, you know, this specific test certification. Before, they just had to pass out this link, like, hey, go see this Go link that it actually sends to a PDF file, and then look down here in this section. Now they can actually bookmark this stuff and send it around. So that helps from an awareness perspective as well.
Yeah. The PDF used to go out of date. Like, I would sometimes get an email from somebody saying, hey, I'm looking at X.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, that's the old version of the
exactly.
The requirement. And so now having it as a link is kind of nice because we can all share the exact same place.
Exactly. And it's tough to balance out because developers want to print stuff. Like, I love to print stuff, right?
Yep.
So we are looking at ways in the future where they can actually have a printable format of this, but it's always online and it's always up to date. And one thing I do want to note out here that these requirements specifically right now are not for the Mango release. Those will be coming up very soon as developers start building apps and getting those ready for the marketplace for Mango. These are specific to the last release.
Okay. Now, you said something interesting. You said developers want to print stuff.
Yep.
The other thing that developers like to do is offline.
Yes.
Before, in the previous release, I could download all the documentation for offline use
yep.
and use it from within Visual Studio.
Yep.
Has anything changed there?
There are a couple things that have changed. So as an example, Visual Studio has a new help viewer. So I don't know if most developers that have been using Microsoft products in the past are probably used to a product called DXplorer, which came with Visual Studio, which is a pretty rich help client.
Yep.
We took that away from developers about a year or two ago and built a really thin client, a web-based client that shipped with the product. And since then, we've been iterating on that. And in the Mango release, developers will see for the first time in the tools the new version of that help viewer. So I'll be happy to demonstrate that real quick.
Yeah, that would be great.
So let's see here. So in Visual Studio, when you want to get to help right now, by default, online viewing for help is what ships in the box. So if I was to click View Help, you'll notice what happens here is my browser pulls up and it goes to the online help, which is great, but not everybody wants that. Some developers actually want the offline help. So in the Windows Phone Developer Tools, what you do is click Manage Help Settings, and you'll choose Online or Local Help. We'll switch to Local Help. And then when I click Help, View Help, and this also applies to F1. When developers are actually programming and they click F1, they'll get sent to the online or offline by default, whichever one that they've selected here.
Yep.
So what you'll notice here is it's a pretty lightweight client, and by default we don't ship the offline docs with the tool, so developers will actually have to go out and download the book. But once you download the book, you'll see the Windows Phone Development Tools content right offline. So if, you know, in the airplane scenario, if you're on a flight and you're flying from East Coast to West Coast and you want to just read about things, this provides a good view into that.
Yep. I have a blog post before that we use for downloading this with step by step for downloading, so we can always link to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. So first of all, again, you know, first I guess thanks is in order, because I think you guys have done a really great job with the Mango docs. Anybody out there watching, definitely spend some time. All the new features are very well documented. Their camera, their sockets demo, even the tile demo that he showed today, those are really end-to-end. Like, I literally walked through those demos before. I'm like thinking, like, okay, this is all we need. I didn't have to write new samples or anything like that. So thanks for doing all that work for us.
You're welcome. And again, out to the audience, if there's any other scenarios that you guys are looking for that we're not delivering on, you know, post a comment in there and we'll get after it.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Amy.